I'll give you a couple of pointers on that. Unsigned components, do they belong to the documents comprising the joint operating agreement? Well, separate doc here in Texas must be sufficiently related to the document for which incorporation is sought. The main agreement must reference the unsigned one. Main agreement must reference an existing document. Oral testimony or mere estoppel claim, well, you've always done it this way, may not be enough to prove up unsigned, non-existent, or incomplete agreements, for example, an AMI agreement. An unrecorded, unsigned, hand-drawn plat does not provide cause for equitable estoppel to enforce an area of mutual interest agreement, as encountered in the Crowder case, which I've seen crop up a couple times. Okay. Moving on to Article 3, interests of the party. And when I say this is Article 3, in the 89 and 15 form, certainly it changes as you go back. Don't think, however, that those older JOAs aren't subject to continuing litigation. Just in the last 5 or 6 years, there was a bubbling out of the Louisiana Supreme Court. We had a 56 JOA that was being, the terms of which were being litigated against. And I remember one of my students saying, what is this relic? And well, it's out there and it gets kind of handed down as the years go on. So that's a tension point, is uniformity in the JOAs that you might have to deal with. It's a lot of people pick one and stick with it because they like the operator removal or procedure or something of that nature. There you go. Anyways, Article 3, interests of the party, signatories owning contributed fee minerals typically are treated as a lessor to a form oil and gas lease. If you're, I've never dealt with that personally, but if you're dealing with somebody who has a mineral interest instead of a leasehold, treated as a lessor. Changes in ownership, the operators to update the form and the exhibit. Choices regarding lease burdens, generally. All parties are, here's the two basic ones, all parties are responsible for a common agreed percentage beyond which individual parties must pay. Okay, so that's like you get two drink coupons, and any more than that, you get to buy yourself. Signatories may choose to make all parties responsible for all burdens, which is another option. And I'm told that's more common with the rush of horizontal drilling, which has taken hold here in Texas. Article 4 in the latest JOAs, titles. Operator conducts the title examination, non-ops respond to demand for title information from operator or operators' hired parties. Two basic streams with failures of title, individual or joint loss, okay? Is it an individual or a joint loss, meaning it's apportioned across everybody? An individual loss. If interests contributed are less than represented at the start, or if a party fails to make a payment that results in the loss of title. A joint loss, in contrast, if parties know of a limitation ahead of time, or of the loss, or if the loss in the interest is occasioned by a later event, the loss is typically joint. Article 5, operator. Now we get into some of the most, I would say, litigated 5-7 litigated articles in the latest JOAs, litigated concepts in some of the other JOAs. Generally speaking, one operator or is one party is picked to be the operator, others are non-operators. This prevents joint and several liability, that's the hope. And if the operator gets sued, the non-operators are, in theory, not liable. Proposed operations are voted upon with votes weighted according to the percentage of ownership of the leaseholds comprising the contract area. A couple of downsides to this that have come up from people who say they don't like JOAs. Non-operators in the past have alleged that they've had a difficult time removing operators, particularly with some of the older forms, which admittedly had some inconsistent language among the middle era forms, 77 and 82 to 89. It generally speaking, it got a little easier as time went on to remove an operator. And I don't think 56 even had, the 56 form even had an operator removal clause in there. Downside number two, non-operators do not have control of day-to-day operations. Taking operational control means the non-op could be liable. So in a way, the non-liability associated with being a non-operator is like, you know, the boat. Stay on the boat, like in that old war movie. Stay on the boat because getting off the boat is unsafe. And if you start directing operations out in the field, that could attenuate your protection as a non-operator that you enjoy.